following takes place between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.
Everybody, and welcome to Full Press Coverage Radio Live. After a brief absence on a Wednesday morning, we are back here live, and it's Thursday. That's right. Thursday comes after Wednesday, folks. I had to check my calendar because I really just don't know anymore. The days, I tell time by where the sun is in the sky. That's pretty much where I'm at now in my life. So, fortunately for me, I do have a crutch to lean on, and once again, fortunately for me, he is the perfect height too. Lean on. That's right. He is my man, Mr. Mike Debate. Mike, how are we doing today?
La, la, la. I'm doing well. So you lean on me like a crutch is basically what you're telling our public. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. No, I'm kidding aside, folks.
That was meant as a compliment.
Ah, well, see, there we go.
Plus, I love the song.
There you go. That's a show.
Plus, I love the song "Lean on Me." So, any chance that I can put those three words together in my head, I start to sing that song. And no, folks, don't worry, I'm not going to sing right now. Maybe later.
No, neither am I. Maybe no worries, folks.
Maybe boom, 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 boom. Okay, all right. No, let's good. We don't need an a cappella version of "Lean on Me" this early in the morning. Like I said, we'll save that for a Friday show or at the end of this episode, depending on how energetic we feel and how full of caffeine, or at least maybe the caffeine will finally start to kick in, because mine's taking a little bit. It's not working. It's going right in and out. It's just like it gives me that short like little burst the second I taste it, and then it's gone.
Yeah, evaporating very quickly this morning, as you can tell by the content, folks. No, just kidding. I'm only kidding. But no, you're right. The days, the weeks, the hours, whatever, however we're telling time these days, is just all melding together. I think everybody's losing track. A good friend of ours, Alex Barth of 98.5 The Sports Hub, recently put on his Twitter page that he spent all night up playing a video game, and he said that is ultimate peak quarantine, and I think he's absolutely right. I think just everybody is losing track of time, they're losing track of space. I had an AP English teacher in high school that used to tell me time was just an illusion. I'm starting to believe he's right.
It really is, and look, I believe that because I've, you know, obviously for much of my life, at least, you know, in college and post college, worked a lot of restaurant jobs where, you know, my schedule was, you know, basically 4 to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, anyone who's ever worked those type of jobs, you know, you get home and you're not falling right asleep. No matter how exhausted you are, you're still kind of amped up. So generally you're up, and it's not my, you know, I don't prefer to do that, because the problem is I'm also kind of a morning person. And by that, I mean, it doesn't mean I get up in the morning right on time every morning. I do have trouble with that, but like I feel the need to have to be up early in the morning, and especially now with obviously my work here at Full Press Coverage and everything that we do, you know, being up early is obviously much better schedule than being up late and all that. So, but the problem is I still struggle with that. So I get up at, you know, 6-ish every day during the week, and I still go to bed between midnight and 1 a.m. So some days it's a bit of a struggle, and the coffee is literally just hooked up into my veins all day.
Yeah, sleep deprivation is definitely an issue in our business. We run odd hours. Things happen at all hours of the day. But again, I think that you come back to the fact that we've tried to train ourselves to be up earlier rather than up later, because news tends to break a little earlier than it does late. But you never know. I mean, you know, you know, there's all different kinds of things that can break at all different times. So we try to be as prepared and as ready as we possibly can for you folks, because that's our mission, and that's what we do here on FPC Radio Live.
That's right. That's right, Mike. Well said. I might have to put that down as a motto. We'll add it to the list.
Have to do it. Yes, no, but we can add it to the list.
You know, it's all about what you make with the time. Again, you know, going back to what I said, I used to work a late schedule. You can still accomplish quite a bit, and you gotta find what works for you. And that for me right now is the biggest problem. Now, part of it is, you know, back when you're working a restaurant, it's pretty, you know, what's going to happen. You don't know the nuances of the shift, but you know you have to go in at X o'clock, and then, you know, you're leaving roughly this time. If you're closing, you know you're going to be there forever, and you can kind of plan around it. You know, with this business, it's a, you know, there's some structure to it. Obviously, we do the show every morning, and that kind of anchors me to the day. That helps. I mean, if anything, we do the show just so I have some semblance of a routine in the morning. So, and the routine is quite good. I enjoy it, but it helps. But for the rest of the day, it's pretty much however it goes. I mean, some days are a little bit later, some days a little bit earlier, some days the workload is early on, some day, you know, so it's hard to balance the schedule out. And anyone who's been stuck at home, working from home, it's the same deal, unless your job gives you like a very strict, you have to be logged in from 9 a.m. to 5 a.m. work schedule. You're pretty much left to your own self-accountability is the best way to put it, because when you're working on your own, it's great. There's a lot of perks, but there's no one there to check you when you're not doing your work. And that can be a problem. And trying to organize your time and everything like that, that's an issue. So folks out there, if you're struggling, if you don't know what day it is, if you're having trouble, if you're not sleeping the way that you're used to, if you're, you know, staying up odd hours of the day playing video games like you've never done before, such as Alex, and, you know, I've done it myself. I've been up all day, 20 something, or not 20 hours, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I've been up all day, go to get in bed, and then, hey, you know what, I'm going to play a couple rounds of Call of Duty, turns into 3 hours of, oh crap, I'm only going to get 2 hours of sleep tonight, because I got a damn radio show to do in the morning. So, and here we are, Mike, here we are, I am tired.
We are, again, right here for all of you, because we love to do this. It's something that we enjoy, it's something that we live for, and it's something we feel is an obligation to bring you the latest news, notes, and analysis from the world of sports, from entertainment, and from shows that went off the air at least 15 to 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's pretty much where our wheelhouse is. I mean, we haven't evolved much since, you know, I'd give it maybe the early 2000s. Oh, sorry, you cut out there, buddy. I didn't know if you were making a great point.
Oh no, maybe even. That's just the point. It's once I make my great points, then the microphone just automatically cuts out on me to prevent me from saying something stupid. But in any case, I would say we'd go a little bit later than that. Maybe like the middle part of this. I'd say this past like 2010s decade, maybe a little bit out of our realm. But I think anything before that, I think we're pretty well dialed into the pulse of America at that point.
I include so the way I look at it. So, you know, for instance, I'm sure like you. You're thinking about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just how I do it.
Right.
I wake up and I automatically think about my favorite Jack Bauer kill, and I can tell you which one it was exactly. And we've had this discussion, I think. I can't remember if it was on the air or off the air, but I'll remind the folks out there if you don't remember. My favorite Jack Bauer kill, season 2, in the stadium, fighting the guy in the little causeway walkway as you're walking into where the stands are, grabs him by the head, a little headlock, a little jump off one side of the wall to the next, and as he turns, he just so smoothly snaps the guy's neck, and it's one of my favorite kills. I'm gonna guess, if I remember correctly, Mike, yours was the biting of the neck. Am I right?
Actually, no. Same season. My favorite was it was the same season, believe it or not, and my least favorite season of 24.
Yeah,
but my favorite Jack Bauer kill, and that was the stringing up and the hanging of one Abu Fayyad.
Yes,
just brilliant. It was a fight that Jack, by all accounts, it was a fight that Jack was actually losing, and believe it or not, he was able to find the ingenuity to find this, and just the way he's able to string him up with the chain and the pulley, and just I don't want to ruin it for anybody. Go ahead and Google it. You know, of course, you may want to be careful, you know, Googling, you know, Jack Bauer kills. You might, you know, want to worry about if anybody else is monitoring this, you know, exactly what your, you know, mental state is at the time. But all actuality, if you are a fan of 24, I guarantee you, you know what I'm talking about. But that is, yeah, it's the same season as season six. The neck biting was earlier on. That was pretty ingenious as well. A little gory for my taste, but the Abu Fayyad hanging was my favorite in terms of ingenuity and just brilliance. So I really did. That was my favorite out of all.
Well, day six, you know, as some refer to it as, but season six, where it lacked in storytelling and substance in that sense, it certainly didn't lack in action and go, because it really, I mean. If anything, that season had a lot of great, like, action moments. It just, the story was a little flunky at times. And, you know, you didn't, you know, again, it's hard to follow up in the footsteps of the GOAT season, you know, since everyone likes to overuse that word. We're going to overuse it now anyways. But you know, I think we all agree that season six was a little, you know, a little subpar for the most part in terms of the whole storytelling aspect, but at the same time the action was just there. And you know, even then, like even in the later seasons, like I remember showing a friend of mine, he had never seen 24, and you know, he loves action movies, he loves all that type of stuff, and I was telling him for months, I'm like, what are you doing? This is exactly what you want. And he was no, like, you know, because it was the idea of a series, you know, movies are one thing, you know, you're in and you're out an hour and a half, 2.5 hours. It is what it is. Sometimes it's hard to get into a series, you know, especially one that, you know, again, it's hard to sustain what 24 sustained for so long. I mean, it's pretty incredible, you know, the more you think about it. I started him in again. Hooked. Absolutely. He's like, I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, it's your action movies in 8 or 9 or 8 24 episode seasons and 1 12 episode season. So, so folks who haven't watched it yet, go out and watch it. It's a great show. It's a great show. We talk about it constantly on this program here, but that's, you know, that's just because that's who we are. But I labeled this episode the show on Sportscaster Day, and if you're watching on Sportscaster, we appreciate it. Get involved, mention us in the chat, throw us a question, let us know what you think. If you haven't already though, go and download the Full Press Coverage app, Apple and Google Play Stores. Free. It's free to download. Check it out. We have all, we have this show, we have all of our podcasts, written content. We're putting together quite the NHL team. So for all you hockey fans out there, check it out. We're going to have some great stuff coming here soon. I labeled this show Thirsty Thursday. Thursday. I can't speak. You know, if you're in college, Thirsty Thursday, it was just an excuse to drink and really go out and party. It was actually, at one point, it almost felt like the biggest night of the weekend was Thursday. But I labeled us Thirsty Thursday because we're thirsty for something. We're thirsty for some sports news. We're thirsty for some something. And there's been a couple developments, I guess, over the last 24 hours. Boop, boop. Or so, including one, this wonderful state of Florida. And I say this, if you can't see on camera, with my eyes rolling into the back of my head, a la The Undertaker. And no, I kid. I understand that there's a lot of, you know, political issues in this state. I happen to like where I live. I like this area in particular. I don't leave my bubble, so I can't speak for 98% of the rest of the state. But, you know, my bubble's nice, so I'm not trashing the state. I'm just saying they opened up their doors for any sports team professional that wants to compete. They said they're going to open up the doors for sports. Some states have obviously begun to open up and allow other businesses to, you know, start to get back to normal-ish. Obviously, our attention is more focused on what's going to happen with sports. We're keeping an eye on, obviously, the NHL and NBA are obviously the you know, the ones that are probably in the spotlight the most just because of where they are in the season. Gary Bettman participated in a conference call the other day, and he mentioned that they are still focused on finishing the season. They do not want a repeat of 1919 and 2005, where they didn't award the Stanley Cup. So they're exploring different options, whether it's a select few cities hosting all these games, whether it's I hope not. I'd rather honestly have the season canceled if this is the case. But if they have a 24-team NCAA style tournament to award the cup, I would hate that. It would be great to watch hockey, but you know, the idea of awarding the Stanley Cup that way, it doesn't sit right with me. Of course, the NBA is also still in the same boat, trying to finish up their regular season or just go right into the playoffs. And of course, Major League Baseball, who has probably made the most, progress towards getting back to action, because they have even looked for a early July start to the season. And here's the thing: they are, you know, going through some drastic changes in order to accommodate the season. If it goes through, the owners have approved it. I believe it still has to go to the players, but the season is going to be slashed in half, 82 games, or just about in half, 82 games, no AL, NL, universal DH. And look, I'm for it, you know, like, see, you know, if you can get some sort of season in for Major League Baseball, I am all for it. And to be honest with you, and I think I said this yesterday, I might have mentioned it off the air, I don't think you're ever going to see the NL-style game again if they end up putting together the Universal DH, because this is a situation where they've been pushing for this for a while, and now they're going to be forced to have to do it. Just because they can't, you know, it doesn't make sense to have two separate leagues and go through the whole, process as if it's a normal season. It's going to be kind of hard for them to go back, or at least drop that issue when it comes to eventually moving to Universal DH full time. So there's a lot of interesting things developing, but we're still kind of in the dark when it comes to actual knowing what's going to happen in the near future. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, I think it was a progression that everyone expected. When you talk about the relaxation of federal and state guidelines, about relaxing stay-at-home orders, opening businesses back up, trying to re-enter society and re-enter life, you figured sports was going to follow suit. And of course, we've talked about this several times, my friend. It's the safety of the players, the safety of the fans, the safety of everyone involved. That's first and foremost, and that's paramount. Professional sports opening up in some states as opposed to others is a real slippery slope. That's a very, very delicate argument that can be had. So I think in a lot of ways, I think a lot of this is being done maybe to force the hand. We'll see what happens with some of these major sports organizations. I know Major League Baseball is making great progress. You mentioned the July 1st start. You mentioned the slashing in half, the 82 games. I know I mentioned here a couple of days ago on FBC Radio Live that maybe we're seeing an erosion of that type of long season, I guess, is the best way to put it when it comes to Major League Baseball. I don't think that'll lessen because, again, owners and players are just not going to leave money on the table, especially owners. They're not going to leave revenue on the table. If they know that they can fill their stadium or turn a profit by having a 162-game season, 82 home games, that's exactly what they're going to do. Yes, absolutely. And I will be right there. And yes, and my minions will all be wearing the shirt. This is property of the Million Dollar Man with the cent sign on it. And that's exactly how this is going to work. No, all kidding aside.
No, you got to do the Virgil look, you know, with the tuxedo with just the, it was almost like a vest
with the
tuxedo.
Sleeves cut off,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. With this,
I mean,
with
I don't
sleeves cut off.
I don't
yeah,
know if you
very, very a la Rick fit. Wild Thing Vaughn yeah. out of Major League. Yep.
Yeah,
you know, where he had the tuxedo. But the sleeves were torn off.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably look more like a Wild Thing than Virgil, but...
We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son.
Either way, no, but you brought up a great point. I mean, look, Major League Baseball, the whole, keeping... I would love for Major League Baseball to go down to 82 games this season. That would be great. I mean, I think that would add a little bit more excitement, but they would never do it because, you know, I mean,
right, exactly.
Unless they're going to double the ticket prices and double everything, you know, it's not going to fly. But yeah, sorry, go ahead. I could not miss an opportunity to play that song.
No, I'm glad that you did. I mean, anytime you play my theme music, it's always a pleasure.
Wait a minute.
You know, it invigorates.
I hate when that happens. Sometimes these things have a little intro. Yeah. So now I kind of gave away that I was going to play something else. But I thought you said your theme music.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Much appreciated, yeah. So, first of all, you open the show by calling me a crutch. Now you compare me to Doink the Clown. You know, I'm starting to get a complex here, man. What? I mean, what's going on here?
I take
every opportunity to pump the tires, and now I'm not... I got to be honest with you. I'm really not thrilled with the level of service up to this point. So, you know, it's... No kidding.
I need the old Mike DeBate back.
I want the old Stone Cold. Yeah, what, are you going to leave the can of beer right in the middle of the ring like Vince did?
Yeah, and the lights will go out. I got to get a dimmer switch in here so I can add that effect where I can just press a button. The lights can go out. And if I ever want to, if I really want to up the production value, I can add the dimmer switch in here. And,
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, see, that's exactly what we should be doing. And, really? And if we can somehow synchronize that one of these days, I think we got a hit on our hands, my friend. That's it.
Well, you know? don't
probably
worry.
Probably a lawsuit, too, because WWE, I'm sure, will not be happy that we're stealing their gimmicks and their shtick.
It's all right. We're helping promote their product. We're just helping them out. You know, if they want to say something about our stuff, that's fine with us too. We're not gonna.
My thoughts exactly right. Yeah, if Vince McMahon wants to get out there and start talking about 24 and make Seinfeld quotes, we're not gonna get upset with him.
No, he's too busy dealing with the issue with Oliver Luck apparently, and I didn't read the entire story, and obviously I don't know all the details, but and look, this is probably not going to look good for Vince, but he fired Andrew Luck's father, I guess, but Oliver Luck, the commissioner of the XFL, 2 days after they shut the doors because of the pandemic of the XFL. And obviously there's news came out, I think, last week about a lawsuit going on. So Vince has got his hands full. He's got to deal with that. And on the surface, that doesn't look good for Vince in terms of the optics of it. But at the same time, when have we ever known Vince McMahon to worry about the optics? Just saying. I mean, when you have a theme song like this, you know, you don't, you know, there's no messing around with this guy, because you know what? You got... Yeah. The timing was off a little bit there, but you get the point. I mean, no one really kind of messes with Vince, and
it was good. I think the build up enhanced it.
I tried.
So no, don't give yourself too much. Yeah, don't knock yourself too much. You're a tremendous slouch.
Oh, thank
but,
you.
But in any case, Vince. Yeah, Vince has got some splaining to do when it comes to that. There's no question about it. The XFL, I don't know. It's that type of business that, you know, it's almost like I'm liking the XFL to that restaurant in your neighborhood, you know, the Babu restaurant, the one that just seems to always open
right.
up.
The Dream Cafe.
You know, a lot of promise. Exactly. A lot of promise, and nothing, absolutely nothing in that location can survive. Everything that opens with a lot of promise, a lot of pomp, a lot of circumstance, a lot of hope. It leads you to believe that this time's going to be different, and then it's just the same old, you know, result each and every time.
To their credit.
You know, to their credit, I think they put out a great product this time around. I think they were gaining a lot of momentum, a lot of traction. This time, I don't believe was really Vince's fault, so to speak, or the brass of the XFL. Obviously, the pandemic was what shut this down, and I don't think a league that was just starting out and trying to get traction was going to survive in an environment like this. And it doesn't surprise me that it didn't. But again, it seems to be one more setback in a series of setbacks that just makes you wonder if the fates are just not going to allow this. I think we're probably at that point right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately too, I think you, and you meant obviously the pandemic was, you know, you look at, you know, because again, you had the litmus to, or the comparison to the AAF from last spring which obviously failed for very different reasons. I think they were, in hindsight, doomed to fail because of their business model. They just didn't have the capital. They didn't have the right ability to sustain the league. The XFL did, with the, you know, slight exception to having a global pandemic that shuts down business across the world. So, you know, again, you can't blame Vince for that. And that's what really obviously got to me, because I enjoyed the product they were putting out on the field. And look, I thought they were, you know, building some traction. Now, again, it takes a while and it's never going to live up to the level of the NFL, but they did have that financial security. Again, with the one exception being that they, you know, obviously could not plan for a, you know, a global pandemic that shuts down the entire world. So, you know, again, you can't blame that on Vince. You can't blame that on anyone else. But what happens after the fact, you can. And you know, again, if this firing was more or less to, you know, cut some corners in terms of what you had to pay other people, then yeah, this kind of looks a little, you know, a little scummy. But you know, at the end of the day, it is Vince McMahon, and you know, again, you know, I think we praise him a lot for a lot of the things he does, but at the same time, he's a guy who has gotten his way through what was aptly named in the WWF or WWE universe at the time, but ruthless aggression. I mean, that's really
ruthless
what it was.
Ruthless aggression.
Yes. Aggression. And you know, he takes them and look, I mean, to some extent, when
you grab your competition by the throat.
Yeah. No, and look, I mean, you think it's a shtick, but I mean, in reality, I mean, that's how he's built his empire. And look, there's no deny it. He's had to do what he's had to do to get to where he's at and to build the empire and you know, the billions of dollars. I mean, the fact that you can lose hundreds of millions of dollars in a day and not blink an eye, you know, that tells you he was doing something right. You may not like the way he gets there. You may not like his attitude or the way he talks or, you know, maybe the way he treats some people or his political linings. But, you know, when it comes to making
at the end of the day, the man is a success. Yeah, he really is, and he really has done this. I mean, and he's had his. This is a guy that's had his back up against the wall several times. I mean, mm-hmm. We're not just talking about the WCW WWE rivalry where, you know, Ted Turner was within an eyelash of putting Vince out of mm-hmm. business. I mean, this is a guy that mortgaged everything he had, including the very home that he was living in with his wife and two small children, when he bankrolled WrestleMania. He gambled everything on that event. If WrestleMania was not the success that it was, we don't. That organization probably would have folded. It might have gone into territories, and wrestling would probably have never been what it is today without question. So he gambles a lot on what he believes in. And if he believes in something very strongly, he's going to make it work. If he tries to do this again, I mean, are you going to bet against him? I'm not betting against him. I mean, every time it's like Tom Brady, you bet against the guy, and you every time you think you're going to see him fail, he comes back and he ends up coming back successful. So in a lot of ways, yeah, there's always there's not on my part. It's not a begrudging respect. It is an admirable respect for Vince. But a lot of people that don't like him even have to sit there and begrudgingly give him the respect for being a survivor. Because if there's one thing you have to give Vince McMahon, is that he is a survivor. He's going to survive, and he's going to, you know, do it with success. So we'll see what happens with the XFL or some of these upstart leagues, and we'll see what happens with some of the major leagues right now with the NFL, the NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. I think they're right now even projecting a lot of struggles. So I don't think this is quite the time that you're going to see a startup league. It may be another couple of years before we even hear about anything like that again, but you know, it's never, you know, never to be counted out. As long as Vince is healthy and he's able to, you know, put his, you know, financial backing and his business muscle behind it, it's got a chance. It does have a chance to succeed.
Yeah, too bad I don't have any Diane Summer queued up on the old computer machine there. You know, I will survive, right? I was thinking about this, and if I was smart and you have the ability to invent things, I would love to be able to sync up my computer to like my thought, my subconscious, and anytime a reference, a quote, or anything pops into my mind, it automatically plays on my soundboard. Now, again, that seems a little bit outrageous and ridiculous to even think about, but hey, you know what? I'm here. And if anyone out there wants to invent it or help me, you know, hey, get in touch. We'll make millions of dollars. So,
hey, you know what? Stranger things have been invented. I mean, it almost sounds like that Kramer phone from the future. You know, well, you don't even have to think of. You'll just be thinking about someone, and you'll talk to them. You know? Oh, you want to talk to Jerry? Oh, yeah, Newman. You know? Do they still use napkins in the future, or is this mouth vacuum thing really going to take off? So, George.
that's the crazy thing
just
about it.
Just completely glosses right over it. Yep.
Well, and like, the crazy thing is like, if you remember back to that time period, you know, the mid to late 90s, some of the, you know, or even, you know, probably go back to even the 80s, I'm sure you can speak to this, and folks that are a little bit older than us, how ridiculous the projections were, at least the predictions were for what the year 2000, you know, the year 2000, it's like, okay, you know, all it really did was bring us like Jenko jeans and the Monopoly game came into focus. You know what I mean? Like that, you know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't like a huge deal. Like think, you know, like Kramer was saying, it's like, do you think we're gonna have flying cars? You know, people are gonna call you through your head, you know, all that stuff. And it's pretty
ridiculous.
Well, you go back
and look
at that.
You go back and look at Back to the Future Part 2. Look at how they were dressed. I mean, 2015. I mean, I was waiting for those outfits to come out. You know, the self-lacing sneakers, which actually they did come out with those, by the way, folks. I think they were like $800 a pair.
Oh,
I
Jesus.
Think that you had. It was like it was ridiculous. Big baller brand? Nike did come out with hologram. Well, you know what? We're not going to touch that one, folks. We're not going to touch that.
Yeah, we don't have enough time.
Inside joke, we don't have enough time. And quite frankly, I don't have enough coffee or energy to go through that right now. But someday we will fill you in on the word hologram and the meaning that it means to us. But in any case, they did come out with the self-lacing sneakers. Nike did have them. They did release them for a period of time. If you want to go out and Google them, I don't think they're still on the market, or I don't think, but you will see that they did. But yeah, that's kind of what we were hoping for. We thought there were going to be flying cars and things of that nature. And, you know, we're still down here in 2020 driving around like idiots and walking around like idiots and basically like doing everything like idiots right about now. So, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. People, it's 2020. Future is happening. People are still stupid. That's my stump right there.
And to think people thought that, like you said, 2015 was going to be what it was in Back to the Future. And come to find out, people don't even know what the ideal gas law is in 2015. So we have a long way to go, folks, before we start getting flying cars and all that nonsense. See how I kind of brought that to Deflategate somehow, because I don't know, it's popped up recently and I've had to talk about it. So like I said, start of the episode or middle of the episode, whenever I mention it, we labeled the show Thirsty Thursday, because why the hell not? We just we're thirsting for some information and some things to talk about, and hopefully we'll get some more clarity on what these seasons could potentially look like. I think we're all hopeful that the NFL will start on time or relatively close on time. I think there is a big chunk of period of time between now and the start of the regular season, so there's time to figure this stuff out. The NHL has obviously said they're willing to be flexible. If that means playing the Stanley Cup final or playing the Stanley Cup playoffs in July and August and delaying the start of next season until November, they will do that. And that would be great because we'd get summer hockey. I mean, obviously it's nice down here all the time, but folks up in Massachusetts, up in New England, think about it. You know, you're sitting on your back porch. Maybe you got a projector. You know what I'm saying? Put it up on the big screen outside on the back porch, grilling, barbecue, and all that stuff, and watching playoff hockey in August. That would be awesome. So there are some things you can take out of that and hope that, at least look to that to help keep things positive and keep things, you know, focused. Because again, I mean, you know, we're in day, 64, 63, 64 of no sports. I mean, it hasn't gotten much easier. I think we've gotten used to it. It doesn't mean it's easier. So, at least these leagues are putting together and trying to formulate a plan. Again, a lot of it has to do with what the states deem appropriate, what the government deems appropriate, what the medical officials deem appropriate. And right now we're getting three or four different responses from all of them. So honestly, I really don't know. I mean, one state opens up, the other extends their stay at home for 3 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
where are we here? Like, I honestly don't know. Like I've always been in the abundance of caution side, and I still remain there, and I still believe that, you know, again, it had this been handled far better from the get-go, we'd have a little bit more clarity right now. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you turn, like I said, that's the problem with the media, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday when it comes to the sports world. You turn to one channel, they say, oh, well, you know, this is going to happen. This is going to go on until the year 2527. And then you got, you know, the next channel, they're like, oh, yeah, we got beach party going on here. We got the bars opening up. The gyms are going to be out there. We got, you know, muscle heads doing push-ups and sit-ups in clear water. Like, you know, what? I don't know what's going on. You know, the answer is somewhere in between all that. And we just don't
know. Nobody does. And nobody does, my friend. And I think we're all trying to find answers. You know, I mean, there's a part of everyone that wants to see society open back up. There's a part of everyone that wants to be social again, be able to see one another again, go to the gym, go get a haircut, go out to eat, re-enter society, re-enter life. And I get it, folks. Look, the summer months are coming. It's a lot more difficult to be quarantined in nice weather than it has been in the last couple of months where the weather maybe hasn't been so great. I'm speaking from experience here in New England. I know it's different all across the country.
Like down here.
But there's also a part of me, exactly, right down in Florida where the weather is great pretty much all the time.
Boca Vista.
Del Boca Vista, absolutely. Phase two. Morty Seinfeld, president. But in any case, enough of the Seinfeld references. Actually, no. You know what? Well, scratch that. There are never enough Seinfeld references. We should fill the show with all of them. I think people would rather hear that than our lame takes on society. But, you know, there's also a part of me as well that looks at first responders, that looks at the medical workers right now, that are rolling their eyes every time these people go out and say, I'm tough, I don't need a mask, yeah, I'm healthy. You're not wearing the mask for you. Get over it. It's something that has to be done right now. I'm not saying it's a different argument to say that I don't believe that businesses and things should be opened up. I think that's an argument that is really, it's beyond my pay grade, folks. You know, I'm not paid to make those decisions. I can't sit here and intelligently speak to someone that's in danger of losing their livelihood to say, oh, well, we just need to stay at home. You just need to get over that. I can't do that. I can't tell that to someone because I'm not in their shoes. I'm very fortunate to be able to sustain my way of life, being able to work from home. So many people can't do that. So I get it. I do understand that. But when you have these people out there saying, I don't want to wear a mask because I just don't believe that I should, and that, yeah, you should. Yeah. If it's going to prevent even one person from getting infected, and it's not just the elderly, I hear these stupid arguments, one in particular from someone out there, and you can Google his stuff on Twitter, folks, and he puts this stuff out there all the time, that people under the age of 54 have no risk of getting this. You have a risk of being a carrier, you moron. You have the opportunity to infect people. And if you do that and you infect someone and they lose a loved one as a result of that, then take your little graphs and your stupid, idiotic sayings on Twitter and you give that to someone that has to bury a loved one virtually because they can only allow 5 people in the church that they're going to bury your loved one in. Then you make the argument and tell them that they're too stupid to wear a mask. You want to open things up. You want to try to have a semblance of normalcy in this society. I'm all for it. But when you start acting like an idiot, that's where I draw the line.
Well, and yeah, you're right. Because again, it goes back to how this whole thing was handled at the beginning. If it was handled on both sides, I blame heavily one side more than the other, but I think every party involved politically has a lot of responsibility in terms of how this was handled. So
what I just said was not a political statement in any stretch of the imagination. I think there's idiocy on both sides of the fence, easily, and an equal amount on both sides of the fence.
Well, and again, if you were to believe that the warning signs have been there for months. I'm talking November, December, all this information that apparently is there. And, you know, one side of the fence is, you know, going on and on about an impeachment thing. You know what I mean? You can't, you know, they're not without fault. At the same time, the leadership in this country right off the bat could have put more focus, because now, you know, the information's been out there. So, you know, a bunch of people believe all the conspiracy theories, like, you know, like you said, the graphs and the data say this, blah, blah, blah. So they're never going to change their mind. The other side of the fence is never going to change their mind. If you're a different political mind, they hate you anyways, and vice versa. So it's just like, from the beginning, if it was handled better, if it was handled with more caution, we probably wouldn't be at this point now, or at least we'd have far more clarity. But again, we're talking about this mostly from a sports world, and I think that's one of the industries that have the slipperiest slope when it comes to reopening businesses and reopening how they do things. So I think not only is it relevant and pertinent for us, I think it's going to be a huge indicator for just life in general. Like, how are we going to get back to normalcy, and attending sporting events and going there and feeling safe is one of those things. So I think they're going to be in the spotlight for quite some time as we work through this. But folks, we are running out of time. That's right. It is almost 9 o'clock, which means we are about to wrap it up here. So in the meantime, before we get back on tomorrow, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live. I am at IGLEN31. He is at MDABATEFPC. Folks, tomorrow we'll have some fun on a Friday. Hey, you never know what's going to happen between now and then, so maybe we'll have a lot of news to talk about. If not, we'll just ramble on in a bunch of nonsense. So download the app, folks. Android, Apple, Google Play, if you want podcasts, all that stuff. Just check it out. Full Press Coverage. We're all over the place. And obviously, go to Full Press Coverage. I was stumbling my words there. .com. Folks, have a great day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And...